Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds, and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance, and dental care. This is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. Because your pet health matters. Please welcome your pet doctor host, veterinary media consultant, and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
According to the American Veterinary Medical Association, there are over 54 million cats and dogs in the United States that are overweight. What's worse, many pet owners are in a state of denial, thinking, oh no, not my pet. It just has big bones, or it's just a little fluffy. Well, February has been designated the first ever National Canine Weight Check Month, and this is the perfect time for pet owners to determine if their pet is really fit or flabby, fluffy, or fat. My guest today is Dr. Elizabeth Flechinger of IMS Pet Care. Dr. Beth has a PhD in nutritional sciences and is also a registered dietitian. She is currently a senior scientist at Procter & Gamble with primary research focus on obesity and obesity-related conditions in dogs and cats. We'll be right back with Dr. Flechinger after this short message break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Doc. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggy's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.FidoFriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
It's time to start scratching for donations for the Humane Society of Broward County's Walk for the Animals, presented by VCA Animal Hospitals. The walk is Saturday, March 1st at Esplanade Park in downtown Fort Lauderdale. You'll need a registration form, so stop by any VCA Animal Hospital, IHOP, the Museum of Discovery and Science, or the Humane Society. This event is also brought to you by Big 105.9, Comcast, Purina One,
PetLifeRadio.com,
Tidy Cats, and The Herald. Call 954-266-6817 or log on to walk4theanimals.com for more details. See you there.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
Dr. Beth, thank you so much for being with us. First of all, can you define What is obesity?
You're welcome, Dr. Bernadine. I'm so excited to get to talk about one of my favorite topics.
I'm obesity. Sure people don't like having you at dinner parties going, oh no, she's going to know that my pet's overweight and I'm overweight.
You know, it can be a really touchy topic. And just like people don't like to talk about their weight very much, they don't like to talk about their pet's weight either.
It's embarrassing. You were saying, what is obesity?
Obesity is simply when a pet is too heavy for its frame size. And it can range in severity from being a little bit overweight to being very, very obese.
If you had an 8-pound cat, for instance, what would be considered obese? A kitty is supposed to weigh 8 pounds. What would be considered obese for that 8-pound cat?
Usually, if their weight is more than 20% over what they're supposed to weigh, so if that kitty was weighing more like 9.5 to 10 pounds instead, so it's a very small amount weight-wise that can actually put a pet into the overweight or obese category.
So you think, gee, you have 10 extra pounds that you and I put on, well, you would never do it, you're a dietitian, putting on those 10 extra pounds over the holidays, well, okay, you're kind of fitting into those skinny jeans, not so skinny anymore. But that 10 pounds for like a 40-pound dog, that would be huge.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, if for the cat, if you're going to put on just 3 extra pounds, for a person, to make that more real to us, that's like 40 pounds on a person.
Wow. So why is this problem so widespread? Why are so many people being spread and so are our pets?
Well, there's a lot of factors that can contribute to this. And we do know that there's an association. As people tend to get more overweight, our pets are tending to get more overweight. Some of the factors that play into this include just plain old eating too much of tasty foods. There's such a variety of good tasting pet foods available these days. And just like with human foods, we can tend to overindulge. Other factors are just like we as humans tend to be less active. Our pets these days are less active than their predecessors are.
Well, it seems like we have a really hard time of it, Dr. Beth, because you're working, you're putting in your hours at Procter & Gamble, and you come back, and you have a son to take care of, and family, and all those other things. How are you supposed to find time to get that pet out to exercise? And getting a cat to exercise is almost impossible.
Well, I think if you can enroll help, that is great. And also, besides trying to get your family members to help out if you can, don't try and bite off too much all at once. Gradual, slow changes are the best.
So gradual meaning I'm not supposed to get my pet to lose 10 pounds in a week?
Correct. Matter of fact, that's really unhealthy. It's tempting to want to fix a problem right away with a magic pill or potion, but really that weight didn't appear overnight and it's not going to safely and in a healthy way go away overnight. You really want to target more like only 1 or 2% weight loss per week, a very slow, gradual weight loss.
I know that eating too many tasty treats can put the weight on, and I agree with you. You go down a pet food aisle at some of these large pet stores, or you go to your grocery store, and treats and snacks and these goodies and these yummies, and it's supposed to help the teeth. So besides the treats that are out there, are there some other reasons why our pets tend to pack on those pounds?
Absolutely. We have pets that are more commonly living in multi-pet households, and sometimes they can be competitive with their fellow pets for food, and sometimes they can eat the food that was meant for some other pet. We see that happening a lot these days. And also, because pets live longer, healthier lives, as they age, their metabolism slows down just like it does in people. And so as pets age, they tend to be more at risk for overweight.
And I know that's a real problem. You know, in my youth, I could just eat and not have to think about it. And now it's like, oh, you just look at the dessert tray and poof, there goes the pounds. Besides the advancing age, I know one of the problems that people are always, they think it's a problem, is neutering a pet. That if you get a cat or a dog spayed or you get it castrated, that for sure it's going to put on weight. Does it really make that much of a difference when you get them spayed or neutered?
Well, certainly there's an association there, but But I would say that the benefits of spaying and neutering far outweigh any risks. A lot of times we blame it on spaying and neutering because that tends to happen at an age where the animal's growth slows down anyway. And as we all know, if you keep eating like you did when you were a growing teenager and when you're a full-grown adult, it's not a good thing. So I think it has more to do with that they're just becoming more of a mature adult and still eating like they were little teenagers.
And we keep feeding them as though they're growing up and all they're doing is growing out. You're exactly right. Are there some breeds that seem to be more genetically prone to putting on weight? I know everyone would love to have that breed. It's really, it's not my fault. It's the genes.
You know, yes, that's a common excuse. And actually, there are some breeds that are more prone to overweight. And they're some of our favorite breeds, which compounds the growing epidemic of pet obesity. Labs, for example, are very food-oriented and food-motivated. And so if you match that up with an owner that showers them with food rewards, they're going to become overweight very quickly. Beagles fall into the same category.
I know I had a black lab, and for a period of time I had a roommate, and we literally would have to write each other's notes because sometimes one would come home, feed the pet, and then take off. And you'd come home, the dog would look at you like, oh, no, I have not eaten for 3 days. And you'd go ahead and feed it going, huh, I wonder why this pet's getting overweight. Going, oh, yes, everyone's feeding the dog. That's why. Now, are there some medications that can also be responsible for pets packing on those extra fluffy pounds?
Certainly. And it's always a good idea to ask your veterinarian when your pet's starting a medication if it might affect their weight. And things like steroids can cause pets to gain weight, but they're necessary. There's a reason your vet prescribed them, so you don't want to stop taking those. Just talk with your vet about how you can work with that medication.
I know steroids, you're mentioning prednisolone is a name that people might be more familiar with, and I'll usually tell my clients, and sometimes it's for itchy skin. There's other indications also. So when your pet is on this medication, it'll want to drink water like it's growing out of style, that it will urinate like that proverbial racehorse, and it'll want to eat everything that's not nailed down. Don't believe them. It's an artificially increased appetite, so continue feeding the way that they're supposed to be eating. So, Dr. Beth, we're talking about pets being overweight. It's so easy to do. How can a person tell if their own personal pet is overweight? What can they do? What can they touch or see or feel?
Probably the easiest way is going to be to look at them and then also to touch them. What you want to do is look at your pet from when you're standing above them, look down over the top, and you should be able to see a natural waistline right behind the rib cage.
Where we're supposed to have ours.
Exactly, just where ours is supposed to be. And you can also view them from the side. And their abdomen should tuck up by their back legs. It shouldn't be flat or hanging down. The next thing you want to do is feel your pet. Just gently, as you're brushing them or as you're petting them, you should be able to feel their ribs as you move your hands along their middle. If you can't feel their ribs at all, then, and if they've lost their waist somewhere, your pet is probably overweight.
So it's really not fluffy. So even those fluffy animals, when you put your hand on the side, you shouldn't be pinching an inch, yes.
That's right.
But as you're saying, you know, you have that Labrador that just loves to have the treats, and you give it that extra little treat, and then it starts getting plumper and plumper. But it's a happy dog. What's really the problem of having kind of a chunky, happy pet?
You know, that's one of the most common misperceptions out there, that a fat pet is a happy pet. And a lot of us associate food with love, and we like to show our pets affection with the food that we give them. But it's actually very harmful to their health for a pet to be overweight. It increases their risk of different diseases, and it can even shorten their lifespan.
What are some of the diseases that can be exacerbated, made worse by being overweight?
Well, definitely osteoarthritis, or their joints will get very ill and they won't move around as well. It also can increase their risk for getting diabetes. It can increase their risk of different skin diseases. And it can even affect how they respond to different medications.
So Fluffy is not necessarily happy. We've been talking with Dr. Beth Flechinger from Iams Pet Care and Procter & Gamble. We've learned some ways to tell whether or not your pet is overweight. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, she's going to tell us ways that we can get that weight now that we've determined that it really is a little on the flabby side. How can we get our pets to lose some weight? We'll be right back after this short message.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Having a rough day? Longing for the dog days of summer? Think your fun furry friend lives a dog's life? Well, find out everything you're begging to know as Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with pet expert and award-winning author Liz Palaika. Every dog has his day, and you'll find out how to make your dog's day fun and rewarding every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
Dr. Beth, okay, so now I am looking at my pet and saying, yep, it's overweight. I'm overweight. It's overweight. It just has fat friends. How can I get my pet to lose the weight? I look at all of these diet foods that are on the market, and if there's all these great diet foods, why do I have fat pets all over the place?
That's a great question. And you know, you can get too much of a good thing. If you eat too much diet food, you're not going to lose weight. And the same goes with your pet. If you give it too much, even if it's a weight control food, they're not going to lose that extra weight.
So 20 pounds of food per week for the 2-pound poodlet's probably not the good idea. Yes, clients are always saying that, oh, but I only give it the best food. How can my pet be overweight? Well, too much of that good thing. When is the best time, Dr. Beth, to start a pet towards healthy weight?
Well, the best time to start is before they get overweight. But
good
idea. Never too late. It's
okay.
Never too late if you've gone past that point. It's never too late to get them moving towards a more healthy weight.
And you were talking about cats, and cats have a very unique little metabolism where, I know we've been talking mostly about dogs right now, but cats, what's the problem with putting a cat on a very strict, very acute, sudden diet?
Oh, well, if your cat does not get enough calories, and this is a very, very restricted amount. It would be basically not eating for a couple days or eating just very tiny, few kibble amounts for a few days.
So offering it a food it doesn't like, for instance.
Correct, correct.
Okay.
It can actually cause them to have a disease called fatty liver, and it's a very serious health complication. And so whenever you're switching foods with a cat or a dog, you want to do it gradually. You want to offer it, you know, a small, mostly their old food the first day, and then maybe about 25% of the new food. And then you gradually increase the amount of the new food, decrease the amount of the old food, until they get switched over. And that'll also help prevent any stomach upset that they might get during changing over the food.
That heartbreak of diarrhea, it's tough. So, okay, let's talk about dogs. I have a chunky dog, and I needed to lose weight. What should I feed it to lose weight? Is there that special food? You look at all these diet foods, and you look at the labels going, oh, I don't understand this. Why do they even have, for instance, Dr. Beth, why do they have fat in food if fat is bad for you?
Oh, well, it's not that fat is bad. It's just that too much fat is bad. And so in a weight control food, it's going to have some fat because the body needs that for healthy skin and healthy organs and healthy muscle. But you just don't want an overabundance of fat. So a good weight control diet is going to have some fat, just not too much of it.
And what would be the cutoff point that somebody should look for saying, oh, this is too much fat in a diet food?
Maintenance in a diet food. I would say you don't want more than about 13% fat in a diet food. Most maintenance foods are going to be 13% and above. And that's not an unhealthy amount of fat at all. It's just that the amount of vitamins and minerals in that food is at a certain ratio to the fat. So if you feed a maintenance food or a regular dog or cat food, you want to feed that for the purpose of maintaining their weight. If you use a regular dog or cat adult maintenance food for weight loss, there's a danger that your pet won't get enough vitamins and minerals and amino acids that they need. So you definitely only want to use a weight control food when you're trying to help your pet lose weight.
Okay. And looking at that pet food label, oftentimes I know, for instance, if I'm trying to watch my weight, I'm going to eat a lot more fiber, salads, things like this that kind of fill me up, not out. And looking at pet food labels, I notice there's all sorts of different types of fibers that are in it. What are the benefits of fibers? What do they do in a pet's diet?
Well, fiber can help them have a healthy intestinal tract, and it can also help them feel more full. It can, just like it does in people, it helps dilute calories so that you can eat a little bit more volume without packing on the pounds. You do want to be careful. Some pet foods really have a lot of fiber. Even if you were going to equate that to a human diet, it would be like eating nothing but fiber most of the day. And so you want to look for more moderate fiber levels, not too much, but some in there to help with the keep their intestines healthy and help cut the calories.
And we've all heard, you know, fiber being a carbohydrate. We've heard of the Atkins diet for people, you know, lots and lots of protein and really watching those carbs. Is an Atkins type diet good for pets?
Well, actually, while pets need protein and good animal quality, high quality animal proteins are great for pets, they really don't need an Atkins-type diet. That's not a really healthy long-term approach for pets, and it actually can put a lot of metabolic stress on the body, so we don't recommend that. We really recommend a nice, balanced, moderate diet like IAMS Weight Control or Eukanuba Reduced Fat.
And one of the other things, you know, I'm always trying to watch my weight, and anytime I see a commercial for, there's a new vitamin or there's a new supplement, it's like, I look at it with a little bit of a jaded eye, but I know that some pet foods actually in IAMS will have carnitine in it. How does carnitine help a pet lose weight?
Well, carnitine is a great high-tech way to help your pet burn more fat. It helps the body move fat inside the cells where it can be turned into energy instead of being stored. And so what that does is help your pet burn fat and keep their muscle.
I'm asking the registered dietitian in you.
Actually, it's a pretty popular human supplement, too. So
it's not going to hurt me if I take
it. Stores.
Okay. I like that. So are there anything in particular that I should really watch out for as I'm trying to start, we'll talk about a dog. I'm trying to start my dog on a weight control, weight loss program. Any words of wisdom?
Sure. And one would be patience. And the other would be stick to it. You need to keep track. Often we think it should be an easy thing to lose weight, and sometimes it's not. It's important to really think about it and to be honest with yourself about why this is important for your pet to help their health. It's going to take a little bit of effort on your part to make sure that you're not caving in when they look at you with those big puppy dog eyes. And also to communicate with other people who might be feeding your pet to make sure that you're all on the same page and working together and not against each other.
I would also say see your veterinarian. Go on in, get a good health checkup. Maybe there is a huge tumor in your pet's belly and that's put on the weight and causing it to have that pendulous abdomen. Hopefully nothing like that drastic would be going on. But, you know, would always laugh whenever say, before you start that weight loss program, see your doctor. Well, the same thing holds true with your pet, cat or dog. You want to make sure that it's in good health. I'll always say bring your pet in at least twice a year for just a good wellness checkup. Since one of our years is about 7 pet years. And one of the things, many times, one of the pet owners will be bringing it in, you know, the whole family doesn't come in most of the time for an exam. And I'll say, go ahead and make me the bad person. You know, just go home and say, oh, the doctor was so upset and so incensed that this dog has put on or this kitty has put on 3 pounds since our last exam and she just read me the riot act. I don't mind being the bad person. So then they don't seem like the bad one. They go home saying, really, we can't feed it as much as we really need to get this pet on a diet. You were mentioning, Dr. Beth, something that's so true. And I had that black lab who would sit at the dinner table and look at you with those cute little eyes. What can people do so they don't cave in and don't give those treats from the table? Or as you're sitting there having your late night snack, how can you keep from giving your pet just, oh, that one little extra yummy from your plate?
Well, one thing is to realize is that your pet has trained you how to respond to that look. And so your pet has learned. They're very smart. They know what they need to do to make sure that you give them what they want. And so realize that your pet isn't always communicating that they're hungry. They've just learned how to act in order to get that special treat. And the second thing is to start retraining them and yourself to respond in a different way. When your pet looks at you with those sad eyes, instead of giving them food, give them affection. Give them pets, give them praise, give them a toy, and go play together. And then you have the bonus of growing closer to your pet and doing something that's healthy for them.
Are there some safe treats that we can give? And you just, okay, I have to give something. I'm going to walk out the door, and if I don't give a treat, this dog is going to destroy the house, or this kitty is going to poop on my pillow. What can I do?
Well, certainly you could give them a little bit of their, a few kibbles of their weight control food, but there's also weight control treats out there, low-fat biscuits. There's even some that your veterinarian carries that are extra low in calories, like restricted calorie rewards. And so you could break up and just give them a little part of a biscuit or a little part of their food.
So it's more the thought that counts instead of the quantity that you're giving them.
Absolutely. And if you're looking for more ideas, I couldn't agree with you more. I think people would be so much more successful with their pet's weight loss if they enlisted the help of their veterinarian.
Speaking of that, one of the great things they have going on in the month of February, if you go to www.stopcanineobesity.com, it's a weight awareness program going on between the veterinarians throughout the United States, Pfizer Animal Health, and also the American Kennel Club. And this is a way to find out if your pet is really fit or flabby. Is it fluffy or fat? And they can give you some ideas for your pet to lose some weight, which is great. It is also a way for you to help keep track. They also have what's known as the Dog Owner's Guide to Healthy Weight. Some of the things, Dr. Beth, that you mentioned, you know, which breeds are more prone. You can take this little questionnaire. Which breeds are more prone to having problems? What if you have a multi-dog household? You know, is that going to set you up for some problems? Is your pet having some difficulty standing or jumping up off the couch? You know, what is the risk factors? So if you go to some of these sites, and Dr. Beth, are there some sites that you can mention also that people can go to if they have questions about health, nutrition, and obesity?
Sure. If you go to www.iams.com or eukanuba.com, There's tons of resources embedded in those sites. There's a product selector, so you can see all kinds of good food choices, and there's also tips on how to help your pet through the weight loss process there, and also for your other pets who might not be overweight, good healthy things to do with them.
Great ideas. Well, I'm Dr. Bernadine Cruz, and you've been listening to The Pet Doctor on PetLifeRadio.com. My guest today has been Dr. Elizabeth Flechinger of IMS Pet Care, Procter & Gamble. She's given us some great ideas so you can tell whether or not your pet is fit or flabby, ways that you can get your pet to lose weight, keep it in a healthy weight. So if you ever have questions, what's going on with your pet, always the best person to ask is your veterinarian, because it's your pet. Health matters. Come back next week and we'll have some more interesting things to keep the furry members of your family nice and healthy. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Because they're a member of the family, keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. On demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.